I'm Joe Gatto.
I'm Steve Byrne.
We are Two Cool Moms.
We certainly are.
And guess where we could find us now?
Oh, I don't know. The iHeart Podcast Network?
That's right. We're an official iHeart Podcast, and I'm super excited about it.
I am too. I thought Two Cool Moms was such a fun podcast, but now it's even more funner and cooler and heartier.
That's right. It's more iHeartier.
I knew it! Check your heart rate. We're here at iHeart.
Yeah, you can find us wherever you listen to your podcasts or on the iHeart Radio app.
We think of Franklin as the doddering dude flying a kite in the rain.
Benjamin Franklin is our subject for a new season with Walter Isaacson.
He's the most successful self-made business person in America.
A printer, a scientist, founding father, but maybe not the guy we think we know.
Franklin casts his lot on the side of revolution, and it's another thing that splits the family apart.
Listen to On Benjamin Franklin with Walter Isaacson on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Michael Rappaport, and I have been professionally podcasting for 10 years. The podcast game has changed so much, and if you're looking for the most disruptive podcast in the world, then subscribe to the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast today. We're talking sports, politics, pop culture, entertainment, and anything that catches my attention. Listen to the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everyone. It's me, Katie Couric. You know, lately I've been overwhelmed by the whole wellness industry. So much information out there about flaxseed, pelvic floor, serums, and anti-aging. So I launched a newsletter. It's called Body and Soul, to share expert-approved advice for your physical and mental health. And guess what? It's free. Just sign up at katiecouric.com/bodyandsoul. That's KATIECOURIC.com/bodyandsoul. I promise it will make you happier and healthier.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a Friday, baby. It's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and it's going to be such a fun day today. We're going to salute
an unsung group of heroes. Unsung heroes? A group of unsung heroes? Either way, I don't know if I said that right. We're going to salute somebody. There's going to be some saluting here in just a moment. Michael, is that a Hot Pocket? Do we have Hot Pockets? What kind of Hot Pocket is that? You got Philly cheesesteak Hot Pockets? Oh, I didn't even know they had those. Dang it, I'm going to get one. Anyway, we're going to do that tonight. We're going to talk a little bit more about the primary, jail, America. Somebody wants to know about my plans for the summer. That sub that blew up. Alcoholism. All over the place tonight on the Jesse Kelly Show. I have no idea which direction the show is going to go or what's going to distract me. It may be Philly cheesesteak Hot Pockets. Either way, it's going to be a blast tonight on a Friday. And I want to begin with a saluting first. Saw this morning. New York Post is pretty much a garbage publication, but they do break some big stories, and they do have some writers in that publication that I respect. So people ask me what I read in the morning to get caught up on things. New York Post is on my top five every morning. Every morning I go through the New York Post and just see who's who and what's what. They have a lot of garbage, but there's some good stuff in there. And I saw this one. Starting pay for New York City EMS workers will soon be less than food app delivery drivers. I'm going to do two things here. One, fellas and ladies, I know that times are difficult right now, that it's a very, very difficult job market right now. There are layoffs all over the place. It's tough to navigate things. Those of us who still are employed, let's take a moment and remember how blessed we are. And a lot of people are very desperate to make ends meet right now. Have you considered doing some food delivery, one of the food delivery apps? And hear me out. Especially fellas. Ladies, I think, will probably be more accepting of something like this. But for fellas, we have this thing called pride. Gets us in a whole lot of trouble a lot of the time. I don't do that men are so stupid thing, but male pride's a real thing. It's a real thing. I didn't want to go sell RVs. I didn't want to find a job on Craigslist. It hurt. Had to do it. Had bills to pay. It hurts. These food delivery drivers, they make decent money, man. And the Uber drivers and just the flat out, taxis, basically, they make real money. Consider that, one. Two, people who drive ambulances, EMS workers, they get no respect when we discuss the real heroes in our society. If we're discussing heroes in our society, day-to-day heroes, people who live a life of service, who do we think of all the time? Cops, firemen. We always think of firemen, right? Understandably so. That's a really awesome job. And for you young men always emailing me looking for a life of service, you don't want to do the military anymore, please consider being a fireman. We need type A men in that position, profession. I don't know why I can't talk today. But we never talk about EMS workers. They make nothing, as you just heard. They make virtually nothing. And I have a couple buddies who do this for a living. They just see death in injuries all day. Now, I've been around the block a few times, seen plenty of dead people, plenty of dying people, plenty of people mangled in horrible ways. And honestly, more than most people will see, I've seen it. And that's a day for an EMS worker. That's just how they live. They live around that kind of hardship. They all have very sick senses of humor because of it, but they live around that kind of hardship. And I just thought it would be appropriate to open up the show and salute the EMS workers who get no love whatsoever and make less than a DoorDash driver. All right, there. Now let's move on. Jesse, this is about the sub that went down. So the rich men from the submarine joined the people from the Titanic at the bottom of the ocean. This was to be expected, wasn't it? After all, how many times can you blast off in the space shuttle before one blew up? You want to do dangerous things, you can expect successful results and dangerous results. People who do these things are fully aware of the dangers. I truly think if I were the 19-year-old, I would have refused to get in. I believe I would have said, I'll wait for you up here on the ship. Have fun, Dad. Love you. Okay. I wouldn't have. Now, listen, I'm 41 now. I'm not 19 anymore. I'm not young like that. I guess I'm still fairly young, but I'm not young like that. I look at that sub crew now. You're going to hop in this tiny little sub with a diversity hire, a sub captain, and you're going to go 2 miles beneath the ocean surface. And I look and I say, man, I wouldn't do that. I'm pretty sure I said that on the show. Man, no thanks. But the truth is, I might. If I had the option, I might. And I'll tell you this right now, 19-year-old Jesse definitely would have. Now, I didn't have $250,000. I still don't have $250,000. But if you had presented that option to 19-year-old Jesse, oh, yeah, where do I sign up? I'm in. Let's go see it. I want to see it. And I don't know anything about these people who died. And I understand they're all super rich and it cost $250,000 to get on the sub. And I understand all that. I understand all that. Maybe they were all trash human beings. I don't know. But I will say this. Men, young men especially, being willing to do dangerous, sometimes stupidly dangerous things, that's what makes the world go round. That's why you have a continent. That's why the United States of America is here. Because of young men, rough men, men wanting to experience adventure and danger, getting on a freaking sailing ship, aiming it west without any real direct knowledge that they were going to ever hit land. Just open ocean, just going across the Atlantic. That's crazy. That's why you have what you have. We talk all the time about, well, how many history stories do we talk about? Talk about World War II. And because it's World War II and it's older, we picture them as old. Those were 19-year-old men. These Medal of Honor Monday, every Monday we do a Medal of Honor citation. They're all 18, 19, 20. The old ones are in their 20s, late 20s. And you know what? I sympathize because I did say, I mean, certainly nothing Medal of Honor worthy, but we're talking military service, combat. I did the same thing, and I did the same thing willingly. I remember when we were in Kuwait, we were getting ready to go to war. We knew George Bush was about to declare war. And the day comes, we get word, hey, get your stuff packed up, we're gone. And we had these Amtraks. You civilians would think it looks like a tank without a gun on it. It's a troop carrier. It's a tracked troop carrier. And we pack up our stuff. Word comes, it was, I don't think it was the middle of the night. If I remember right, it was the evening, though. It was the evening and the sun was going down. I'm almost positive I'm right about that. My Marine buddies who listen to your email or text me and confirm it. You know what? I know I'm right about that. Because what happened was, we packed up, boom, George Bush declared war. We head out, we load up the Amtraks, and whoa, we take off north, and we're going north, this gigantic formation of Amtraks driving north, going to war. And you can, in an Amtrak, you have the ability, there are big slots, big open slots in the ceiling where you can stand up in it and stick your head out, basically stick your torso out. That's so you can stick your head out and fight. You can stick your head out and look around. And nobody, as we took off, nobody was sitting down below. We were not only all standing up with our heads out, we were standing up looking all around us at all the other Amtraks as this massive Marine Corps formation is heading for war. And almost every guy in my unit that I can remember who was with me in that Amtrak, we were all smiling. Happy. What? That's stupid. Why? For all we knew, we were going to go get shot, blown up, burned, gassed. They told us that Saddam was going to gas us. And from what we understand, he had every intention of gassing us. We, for all we knew, as 19, 20-year-old men, were heading into a situation where we would die by poison gas, which is like the worst way you can possibly go. And to a man, we were looking around thinking, yeah, this is awesome. Man, young men doing dangerous things, things that get them killed, that's what powers the world. That's just a fact. All right, let's deal with this Trump thing. Someone has a Trump question. Someone wants to know about communists, why they do what they do. In fact, I think we'll address that first. Let's deal with the commies first before we get into the Trump legal stuff here. Before we do any of that, let's make sure we are protecting ourselves financially. Now, I'm not an investment guy, okay? So I'm not here to give you investment advice, nor would I be qualified to do so. I rely on smart people. I've told you this story before. This is about a month ago. I know a guy who owns a bunch of banks down here in Texas. You know what he texted me about? He didn't invite me to the game, although we are going to the game soon. You know what he wanted to talk about? Hey, Jesse, I want to buy gold, a lot of it. And I said, excuse me, what? This is a guy who owns a bank. He's stocking up on gold. China is stocking up on gold and silver. Why do you think these massively powerful entities who understand global finances are all stocking up on precious metals right now? Why do you think that is? Call Oxford Gold Group. Get some gold and silver coins in your hands. Get some gold and silver, gold or silver in your 401k, IRA. The time for precious metals is now. Not next week, now. Call 833-995-GOLD and stock up, all right? 833-995-GOLD.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. You want a little bit of good news today you didn't get anywhere else? The NHL, National Hockey League, just declared that specialty jerseys like LGBT Pride are banned. There is a backlash coming. It is beginning. You're seeing little whispers of it everywhere. Middle school kids ripping down Pride flags, chanting USA. Bud Light knocked off the number one beer can. NHL banning Pride jerseys. People have had enough of this filth. And this is how human beings work. They have to bottom out sometimes. Please pardon the pun when it comes to that. They have to bottom out sometimes before they bounce back. All right, let's get, we have tons of Ask Dr. Jesse questions. I don't have time for this. Jesse, I hear that in the heat of battle, our guys aren't fighting for the USA or against communism so much as they are for their buddies, left and right. So what are the godless commies fighting for? All right. I think I have a decent way to explain this. Maybe this will sound weird, but let me explain. Did you ever watch, do you know anything about Michael Jordan, basketball-wise? Michael Jordan, greatest basketball player ever, obviously. And people who grew up watching Jordan or have gotten to know more about Jordan as they get older, they have learned that Jordan was competitive in a way that was unnatural. Jordan was competitive in a way that he would be around other type A competitive men, and they would think, oh my gosh, buddy, tone it down a notch. I remember there are a couple stories that I remember. I think it's from that documentary they just did on Jordan and the Bulls, where a couple things stood out. I'm going somewhere with this. This will come back to communists. Stay with me here for a second. They were in practice. It was the Olympic team. It was the dream team with all the greats of all time. Bird and Magic and Jordan, Barkley, the greatest basketball players who've ever lived. They're all on one team. And it's practice, not a game. They're in a practice. And someone said something disrespectful to Jordan. Just basic trash talk, lighthearted trash talk, not even anything serious. Jordan proceeds to go ballistic and scores, I don't know, I forget how many points there were in a row, and destroys the other team, so much so that it was tense on the team bus when they got back on after a practice because Jordan was still mad, and Magic Johnson had to break the tension by saying, well, I guess we shouldn't have made the guy mad. But that's one of the good stories. This is one of the stories you can take as good. I took as being sad because I've known people like this. Jordan was in the playoffs against, I think it was the Seattle Supersonics. And the Supersonics, their head coach was George Karl. And Jordan went out to dinner with a friend. I don't remember the details of the story. And George Karl was the head coach of the Supersonics. George Karl didn't come over and say hi to Jordan. He was eating with someone else. Okay, he's eating a meal. Does he have to come over and say hi? What? Jordan spoke on camera about how offended he was by that and how it made him so angry that he went on and won the rest of the games. Now, that's one of those fun Jordan stories you tell. Ha ha, wow, that's amazing. Look how cool that is. That's awesome, right? Unless you're Michael Jordan. Imagine living your life that way. Everything offends you. Everything angers you. Everything drives you. I'll give you one more sports thing because I think this helps explain how the communists think. I'll bring this back to the communists in a moment. Aaron Rodgers, I don't watch the NFL anymore. I haven't watched it in years. I don't even think he plays for the Packers anymore. But while I was watching, he was one of the great NFL quarterbacks, one of the greats of this era, incredible player. And this is back when I used to obsess over the NFL. Aaron Rodgers, instead of being a top draft pick, he dropped on draft day to the 17th pick in the draft. That was free-falling in his eyes. And Aaron Rodgers, at least back when I was watching, would still speak on camera about how that's part of the reason he was so great. That offended him. That angered him so greatly that it controlled every aspect of his life. How he practiced, how he competed. Oh my gosh, I was 17th. Oh my gosh, I was 17th. How disrespectful. How could they do... Why do communists do what they do? Bitterness has a way of driving people. It can drive people to do great things, like perform well at work. Maybe this has happened, something like that's happened to you at work. And I'm not talking on allowing insults to drive you. I'm really not. Maybe it's driven you in your personal life. Maybe you got too heavy and somebody called you fat one day and you decided, that's it, I'm going to the gym. And look, it can be a benefit. It can. But remember this. Communists, what they really are, they're just malcontents. Communism is the religion of the malcontent. For whatever reason, maybe valid reasons, maybe invalid reasons, it doesn't really matter. For whatever reason, whenever you decide to dive into communism and pursue that, what you are doing is wading into your bitterness. You are bitter. You are a feminist, and men are ruining everything. And that guy in high school, he rejected me. And my first husband used to beat me. And men suck. And men are the worst thing ever. And everything sucks. And it drives everything in your life. That bitterness, it consumes you. And it's why you're miserable to be around. That's why everyone hates feminists. Even other feminists don't want to be around feminists. And it's why all you want to do is destroy. That's all you want to do. That's what communism is. It's not that they're fighting for the man to their right or to their left. These are bitter, malcontented people who just want to wreck things. That's what we're up against. It really is. Look, envy, one of the seven deadly sins for a reason. That's the basis of all communism. Envy. I don't have this and I should have this and he took it from me. That's what it's based on. All right. Go talk about Trump. Alcoholism. Let's talk about your phone. Let's talk about taking little steps. Because one of the questions, and I'll get to it a little later on, is, Jesse, am I doing enough when it comes to putting your money where your morals are? And the answer to that question for everybody, most definitely me, is no. Did you know I just stayed at a hotel in South Beach? Went down to South Beach at the end of the book tour, wanted to do a night or two away with my wife. I didn't look it up ahead of time. I walked into the daggone hotel, already paid for the room, and there's a pride flag dangling in the lobby. I just did it. I'm not pointing fingers at you. It's very hard to avoid. But man, the cell phone. Talk about, there's no excuse to have Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile. There's no excuse. When you can switch to Pure Talk, you save a ton of money. It's on the same 5G network. It's a patriotic company that loves your values. There is no excuse. You pick up your phone, dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. That'll save you even more. #250, say Jesse Kelly. 10 minutes, switch to Pure Talk.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
We think of Franklin as the doddering dude flying a kite in the rain, but those experiments are the most important scientific discoveries of the time.
I'm Evan Ratliff. Last season, we tackled the ingenuity of Elon Musk with biographer Walter Isaacson. This time, we're diving into the story of Benjamin Franklin, another genius who's desperate to be dusted off from history.
His media empire makes him the most successful self-made business person in America. I mean, he was never early to bed and early to rise type person. He's enormously famous. Women start wearing their hair in what was called the coiffure a la Franklin.
And who's more relevant now than ever.
The only other person who could have possibly been the first president would have been Benjamin Franklin. But he's too old and wants Washington to do it.
Listen to On Benjamin Franklin with Walter Isaacson on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everyone. It's me, Katie Couric. If you follow me on social media, you know I love to cook, or at least try, especially alongside some of my favorite chefs and foodies like Benny Blanco, Jake Cohen, Lighty Hoik, Allison Roman, and of course, Ina Garten and Martha Stewart. So I started a free newsletter called Good Taste that comes out every Thursday, and it's serving up recipes that will make your mouth water. Think a candied bacon Bloody Mary, tacos with cabbage slaw, curry cauliflower with almonds and mint, and cherry slab pie with vanilla ice cream to top it all off. I mean, yum, I'm getting hungry. But if you're not sold yet, we also have kitchen tips like a foolproof way to grill the perfect burger and must-have products like the best cast iron skillet to feel like a chef in your own kitchen. All you need to do is sign up at katiecouric.com/goodtaste. That's KATIECOURIC.com/goodtaste. I promise your taste buds will be happy you did.
I'm Dr. Laurie Santos, host of the Happiness Lab podcast. As the U.S. elections approach, it can feel like we're angrier and more divided than ever.
Please stick to policy. Don't get personal.
But in a new, hopeful season of my podcast, I'll share what the science really shows, that we're surprisingly more united than most people think.
We all know something is wrong in our culture, in our politics, and that we need to do better and that we can be better.
With the help of Stanford psychologist Jamil Zaki.
It's really tragic. If cynicism were a pill, it'd be a poison.
We'll see that our fellow humans, even those we disagree with, are more generous than we assume.
My assumption, my feeling, my hunch is that a lot of us are actually looking for a way to disagree and still be in relationships with each other.
All that on the Happiness Lab. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Michael Rappaport, and I have been professionally podcasting for 10 years. The podcast game has changed so much, and if you're looking for the most disruptive, most consistent podcast in the world, then subscribe to the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast today. We're talking sports.
Steph, KD, Anthony Davis, and LeBron, they were better, and those teams pushed them to greatness. They brought the greatness out of them.
Politics.
These people are not your friends. They're looking for your vote. This is not a popularity personality contest. To me, it's a policy contest.
Pop culture, entertainment, and anything that catches my attention. New episodes come out twice a week and always pack a punch with over 1,100 episodes in the catalog. Listen to the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, reminding you you can email the show during the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We'll dig into some different stuff here in a moment. I got a couple Trump ones I want to deal with. This one's first. Dear Shogun Oracle, it seems to be a daily discussion on the show on what Trump is doing wrong. Meanwhile, he's rising in the polls, the state polls agree, and DeSantis has gone over like a fart in church. What has the DeSantis campaign done wrong? Okay. Brother, I'm not mad at you. I just need you to hear me. Trump hardly ever gets brought up on this show. Maybe once every couple weeks, really? The only time I bring up Trump, it's actually not in the context of the primary at all, like you just did. You wanted to talk, what about DeSantis? I was talking about Trump and his legal problems and what it means for America and how he's addressing these legal problems, you know, critical issues for the country. I'm not mad, but you know why you think he gets brought up on a daily basis when he hardly ever gets brought up at all? Do you know why? It's because you're in love. People fall in love with politicians. Trump has people who've fallen in love with him. DeSantis has people who've fallen in love with him. And when you're in love, love gives you blinders. You see, if you and I, let's say you who wrote the email or anyone else who might feel that way, let's say Jewish producer Chris gets fired. Probably going to happen anyway. No, I'm kidding. But let's say Jewish producer Chris gets fired and you come on as my producer. And we start working together every single day, like me, Chris, and Michael do, every single day, hours every day. And just like we do here, we laugh, we joke on the radio, off the radio, we eat crappy food, we do different things, we have fun in the office. But one time, let's say you have kids, one time I say to you, man, I don't know, your kid kind of looks funny. That would be all you remembered about me. You wouldn't remember the food. You wouldn't remember the jokes. I would be the boss who insulted your kid. If you think I bring up Trump and the things Trump's doing wrong on a daily basis on the show, you can only think that if you're in love. Because that's just not what I do on the show. Because I don't care. I'm not in love, so I don't care. That's why I don't talk much about the primary. I don't ever really address the primary at all. And you can really tell you're in love because then you started referencing polls and how DeSantis is crashing and burning, and none of that's true either. Those are all Trump campaign talking points. This is very early in the campaign. If you want to know how the primary's going, they're both doing fine. They're doing fine. They're both campaigning in the various states they should be. Iowa, New Hampshire. Trump is tied up more with this legal stuff, so it keeps him from getting out there as much as he should. They're both raising good money right now, which is a very good sign. Joe Biden's not raising any money. That's one of the unsexy things we never talk about in politics at all, is money, but it's critically important. It really doesn't matter what your message is if you don't have the money to broadcast that message to people. So they're both doing fine.
None of these national polls, none of those mean anything at all. Now, a new national poll and of 1,000 people shows Trump up by 90. That's a poll put out by a campaign. DeSantis is leading in all the early swing states. That's a poll put out by the DeSantis campaign. Stop believing the stupid polls the campaigns pull out by themselves. What happens in these primaries is they're state by state battles. We like to think of a primary, a presidential primary, as if it's one gigantic battle. There will be one epic Armageddon battle where the forces of Trump will take on the forces of DeSantis on a battle. That's not how it is at all. There are a million little battles. They're state by state battles, and they take place just like in a war at different times. Iowa's one time, New Hampshire's another time. Remember, there's Super Tuesday where there's all kinds of different states. The primary is going to be very, very, very long. What has the DeSantis campaign done wrong? I haven't talked about really what the Trump campaign has done wrong. I'm talking about his legal troubles and how he's addressing them. You think that's what I did, and I'm not mad at you. You think that, though, because you're in love. I get people emailing every day. Why don't you talk more about the great things DeSantis is doing? Jesse, why are you insulting Trump? I'm going to say it again. For Team Trump, Team DeSantis, for everybody. I'm not going to put on your guys' bumper sticker. I'm not going to wave your guys' pom-poms. I'm going to be very honest with you, as I always am, about how I'm voting. I've been honest with you about that and the reasons I'm voting that way. But when I analyze the primary campaign, I'd never do that anymore just because I think it's boring. When I analyze the primary campaign, I'm going to do it really dispassionately because I'm not passionate about it. But Trump and his legal issues are very separate from the primary campaign, and they are a gigantic deal for the United States of America, a potential sea change for this nation, a potential moment that this nation might not be able to come back from. And so when I think Donald Trump is making mistakes, as in talking about his legal problems on freaking television to Bret Baier, instead of battening down the hatches, lawyering up, trying to get through this, I'm going to talk about it. And if you're in love, that might be hard to hear sometimes. But I'm not going to stop. It's not your mommy's show. It's your daddy's show. Brother Jesse, this is the last Trump one I'm going to do today. I agree with your assessment that Mr. Trump has an almost pathological desire to be accepted by his opponents. Rather that Mr. Trump was once a Democrat. Remember that Mr. Trump was once a Democrat. Only a few short years ago, he was donating to their campaigns and attending their parties and weddings. And he probably enjoyed their attention for the most part. Now that his goals collide with that of the system, he overnight became a threat. I actually think it's a little bit different than that. You're not that that's crazy or you're wrong. I think this is more what the deal is. It's not that Trump was a Democrat. Trump was a businessman. And Trump would donate to Democrats and Republicans. He's been speaking about these things that he speaks about now for years and years and years. He would donate to everybody, and he was always in with everybody. And I think there's a lot to what you said. I remember that Rush interview with Trump about his desire to be liked. Donald Trump's entire life has been, man, he's Mr. Trump. He's Mr. Trump to everybody. Did you ever watch The Apprentice? The wife and I used to love that show. And then Celebrity Apprentice, you had these celebrities, you know, movie stars and models and athletes and things like that. And they would all, yes, Mr. Trump. No, Mr. Trump. It was never Donald. It was Mr. Trump this and Mr. Trump that. He's Mr. Trump. He's Mr. New York. He's Mr. this. And I believe that that's a life that he got used to. Everybody wants his approval. People have, he has people's respect. When no matter who you are, when you address him as Mr. Trump. And then overnight, I do believe this, overnight, all these people decided they hated his freaking guts. And for a human being who has lived his entire life having everyone's respect to now having all this scorn put on him, I actually think that's the most human thing in the world for that to be hard. That would be hard to take in, would it not? And picture that moment. And you've seen this in other small ways before with a movie star or a rock star or an athlete that has gotten super famous and things went really well, and then some kind of horrible controversy happened. They hurt someone or something terrible happened, and they show up at a stadium or show up, and all of a sudden people are booing them and yelling at them for the first time. And they'll discuss, if you ever watch these interviews, how hard that was to take in. I think going from a life like that to a life where people act like he's some kind of racist, I think the racist stuff really wounds him, because Donald Trump's not racist. That's ridiculous. He's got a lifetime of working with the black community and all these things. I think a lot of these things really did hurt him and do hurt him badly. And I sympathize. That's the buzzsaw he jumped into. All right. We have more. We have a lot more. Now, before we get to a lot more fun, we're going to talk about elementary schools and teachers and alcoholism and other things. Let's discuss taking care of our dogs. This morning, I was hanging out, wife, kids, we were hanging out in the living room. I was having a cup of coffee. We were eating, laughing, just doing stupid things. And of course, that big fluffy idiot, Fred, had to come barge his way in so he could get love and attention from everybody. And we were just laughing about him and just what a ridiculous dog he is. And the wife said, man, I hope this lasts forever. And of course it won't, right? They don't live forever. Nobody does. But I know this. I'm going to get years longer out of Fred because I give Fred rough greens every single meal than I would have given him otherwise. I give him vitamins, minerals, probiotics, digestive enzymes. We fixed his digestive issues. His coat looks better than it ever has. His breath is better than it's ever been. And he's just healthier and happier. Go get a free Jumpstart trial bag and find out for yourself. Roughgreens.com/Jesse. Roughgreens.com/Jesse. Or call 833-33-MY-DOG. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Also, the iHeartRadio app is free. You can download it. You can podcast the show on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. Also, another quick reminder of a couple different things before we get back to the Ask Dr. Jesse questions. If you're going to the range this weekend, be careful with that pistol brace.
Made it harder for people to buy stabilized braces. Put a pistol on a brace, it turns into a gun. Makes it more, you can have a higher caliber weapon, a higher caliber bullet coming out of that gun.
Also, remember monkeypox? What, Chris? I'm just asking if people remember. What, Michael? I'm just asking if people remember it. I remember they were trying to gin up some fear again. And all of a sudden, this thing came out. This new disease came out. And it was monkeypox. It was an interesting name for it, monkeypox. And then they started digging into it. And it seemed that there was this common theme with everybody. What, Chris? It's fine. It seemed like there was a common theme with everybody who was getting monkeypox. Huh. Just one common theme throughout the whole thing. Monkey, oh, that guy has monkeypox. Oh, and that guy has monkeypox. Huh. That guy has monkeypox. Wow. And they were all just in a big pile on Friday night. That's funny how they all got monkeypox. Huh. And then the media was trying to whip up this panic. And we started to notice this common strain. The White House then brought in the guy, the gay activist with a sign of Satan. What's that called? A pentagram? Pentagram? With a pentagram tattooed on his chest. He is pictured in leather chaps and things like that in several pictures. And the White House decided to bring him in as a monkeypox advisor. Remember that? I remember it like it was yesterday. And his name was Dimitri Daskalakis. And then something funny happened. Funniest thing happened. A dog got monkeypox. Then a couple kids got monkeypox. And then, like that, monkeypox got out of the news. Funniest thing in the world. Huh. It's funny. Anyway, Dimitri's back in the news. He's saying things like this.
I work in HIV normally, and I'll tell you that, I always...
What a shock.
I work in HIV normally, and I'll tell you that, you know, I always say that I've never made an HIV diagnosis in someone that hasn't somehow related to stigma. I think Mpox is the same. So really, stigma tends to
be Mpox. But Mpox, we don't want to say monkeypox, Mpox, we don't want to stigmatize it.
Be a barrier to testing, a barrier to vaccination. And so, you know, really addressing stigma intentionally and making sure that we get the word out in a way that supports people's joy as opposed to, you know, calling them risky. So I think, you know,
we need to get the word out about monkeypox in a way that supports people's joy. It's just about supporting joy, right? We don't want to call them risky. Yeah, your naked twister isn't risky. No, not at all. We just want to support your joy. Support your joy.
One of the things to think about is that, you know, one person's idea of risk is another person's idea of a great festival or Friday night.
Oh my goodness, I'm going to be sick. Can you imagine how joyful the Navy is? Well, I quit. Chris, what? It's fine. We can make jokes. It's fine. Jesse, or dear cherry pie aficionado. Aficionado. That's a hard word. I'm curious, do you have any fun plans for the summer? Actually, I do, as a matter of fact. Couple things that we're going to do this summer. One, I'm not going to say it. You guys will be too mean if I say it. If I admit what I'm going to do, you're going to be so mean to me about it. And you're not nice people. I'm nice, but you're not nice. I'm not, you know what? No, I'm not. Okay, I will. Here's something we're doing. Now, I need to clarify before I go into what we're going to do that I grew up outdoors camping. Did you hear me? I grew up outdoors camping. Even in high school, we would camp. That's what we did on Friday, Saturday night. You throw your sleeping bag in the car, oftentimes no tent. You drive into the mountains where we would split firewood and start a fire, and we would camp and we would fish, and that's the kind of stuff we would do. All right, so I grew up in the outdoors, and then the Marines in the outdoors. Did you hear me? I spent plenty of time roughing it out there. Did you hear what I just said? I spent a bunch of time roughing it. We're going glamping in a month or two. Shut up, Chris. We're going, and it's the fanciest, most girly thing you've ever seen in your entire life. I am almost positive the tents have air conditioning, or at least, shut up, Chris, it's hot. They have air conditioning or a swamp cooler blowing into them. We are not sleeping on the ground. They have mattresses and things like that. What? No, they're not air mattresses, Chris. They're actually real. They're real mattresses. They're real mattresses. Thanks. I appreciate your attempt to bail me out. You actually made it much, much worse. No, they're real. They're real mattresses. We do have to start our... Actually, I think maybe they start the fire for us, but they don't have to. I'm going to start the fire. So we're taking the fam out. It's a river here in Texas, and we're going to go float the river and start fires and roast hot dogs and marshmallows. It's not... Not the roughest conditions, really, ever, but it's not inside. I'll put it to you that way. Definitely not inside. Not going to be watching TV, although there is a mini fridge in the tent, but we're not going to be watching TV at all. What, Chris? We have to keep the waters cold, all right? We have to keep the waters cold. Shut up. So we're doing that, and then Israel. Remember, Israel's coming, oh my gosh, in less than a month. Was it July 16th, I think it is? 16th? 16th, 17th, something. I haven't looked at the dates in a while. Me and the Jesse Kelly Show fam, we are off to do 10 days in the Holy Land. We are going to bounce around that thing. I get to baptize my youngest son in the Jordan River. I got to baptize my oldest son a few years ago, and now I'm going to baptize my youngest son. And honestly, after I do that, you can bury me in the ground. I'm a happy man. My life is complete. We're going to hang over there, and I'm going to find good things to eat, even though everyone thinks I'm going to struggle with the food. I'm not going to struggle with the food. Chris, I still have to bone up on my Jewish. I don't speak any Jewish at all, and I'm going to get better at that before we go. I have like 3 weeks to learn some Jewish, and I'm going to learn it, and I'm what? Do I know any words? What's halal? Is that a Jewish word? Is it Michael? What is it? It's not really what? What do you mean it's not? Hello? How do you people say hello? Can you tell me? Just making fun of me doesn't help. You know what? I will figure it out. All right, I'll go over there and speak Spanish, and I'll blow them away. You speak my languages. That's what I'm going to say. I'm going to go over there and
Buenas
just drop
tardes
on them all day long. You know what else I'm going to have over there? I'm going to have my MyPillow all-season slippers. Because at the end of the day, when we're all done walking up to Masada, don't worry, they have some kind of tram or something like that to get you up to the top, but I'm going to walk it, because I'm going to walk it like the Romans walked it. Anyway, when we get done at Masada and the Sea of Galilee and checking all this stuff out, I'm going to get back to the hotel. Again, I'm going to want to chill, and I'm going to put on my all-season slippers from MyPillow, and I'm just going to walk around on the clouds that are all-season slippers. Four-layer design. You won't find it in any other slipper. These things are normally $149.98. That's how nice they are. Right now, that's a closeout sale for $25. Go get you a pair. Go get you a couple pairs. MyPillow. MyPillow.com. Radio listeners special square. Promo code Jesse. Go get the greatest slippers ever. Seriously, protect your feet, your knees, your back. MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse, or call 800-845-0544.
I'm Joe Gatto.
I'm Steve Byrne.
We are Two Cool Moms.
We certainly are.
And guess where we could find us now?
Oh, I don't know. The iHeart Podcast Network?
That's right. We're an official iHeart podcast, and I'm super excited about it.
I am too. I thought Two Cool Moms was such a fun podcast, but now it's even more funner and cooler and heartier.
That's right. It's more iHeartier.
I knew it. Check your heart rate. We're here at iHeart.
Yeah, you can find us wherever you listen to your podcast or on the iHeart Radio app.
We think of Franklin as the doddering dude flying a kite in the rain.
Benjamin Franklin is our subject for a new season with Walter Isaacson.
He's the most successful self-made business person in America.
A printer, a scientist, founding father, but maybe not the guy we think we know.
Franklin casts his lot on the side of revolution, and it's another thing that splits the family apart.
Listen to On Benjamin Franklin with Walter Isaacson on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everyone. It's me, Katie Couric. You know, if you've been following me on social media, you know I love to cook, or at least try, especially alongside some of my favorite chefs and foodies, like Benny Blanco, Jake Cohen, Lighty Hoik, Allison Roman, and Ina Garten. So I started a free newsletter called Good Taste to share recipes, tips, and kitchen must-haves. Just sign up at katiecouric.com/goodtaste. That's KATIECOURIC.com/goodtaste. I promise your taste buds will be happy you did.
This is Michael Rappaport, and I have been professionally podcasting for 10 years. The podcast game has changed so much, and if you're looking for the most disruptive podcast in the world, then subscribe to the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast today. We're talking sports, politics, pop culture, entertainment, and anything that catches my attention. Listen to the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.